Happy Friday, everybody. Who needs a Friday? This guy right here. I need a Friday. Hopefully you do, too. We're going to kick it off and start the weekend early with some great Disney talk. Get ready for that. We are so pumped to talk Disney with you three times a week, and we love it each time you download or stream the show, so thank you so much for that. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. Of course, you know the Magic for Less Travel is a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. And one of the things they do for their guests is that they go out each and every morning and check for new discounts. Maybe a new discount is available that's very popular. If it is, they're going through each and every reservation and trying as hard as they can to secure that discount for their guests based on availability. Of course, if it's there, they grab it, rebook, and save their guests as much money as possible on the most magical vacations ever. And of course, you can get in on that. If you haven't booked a great vacation, the agents over at the Magic for Less are standing by to book new trips for new guests and to save you as much money as possible and to give you the most magical experience ever. So check out all the services they offer. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You probably know how it goes. You just click through the link, costs you nothing extra, you get all your Prime benefits, and it supports the show the easiest way possible. So the next time you go to do that online shopping, whether it's an impulse buy or something you've been thinking about, just go through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1321 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday, you. We are still standing by for Pam to get back from vacation. She has to recover from the amazing training she had for the agents over at the Magic for Less. But we'll be back next week. We're going to talk about all the great stuff that happened over at Universal, some of the fun stuff happened at Walt Disney World and stuff in between. We even toured the Disney Dream. That was the worst thing ever, and I'll tell you why next week.
No, seriously, that sounds, I mean, I enjoyed it, but I, as someone who is probably on the ship and knowing that you're not going on the ship, it's probably the worst.
Two words about touring the Disney Dream for 4 hours. Sucker punch is what that was. I was so mad at Pam.
We've been doing a lot of like watching videos of Disney cruises, and I'm just like, oh.
You're sailing with Jeanette. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm very excited about that.
It's going to be awesome. Anyway, all right. So joining me today, we are going to talk some news and notes and observations from Walt Disney World, just to get you a little closer to your favorite place. You know, we're kicking off the weekend early. You just want to have a little Walt Disney World in your heart, and we're going to do our best to bring that to you for the next 35 or so minutes. Ricky's from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Ricky, so you got a cruise on the horizon. That's awesome.
I do. I'm very excited about it. I am, Brian and I are going on our first cruise of just the two of us, although come to find out that there are actually people that I know on the ship, like Jeanette and her husband, which I think is really funny. But we are going on the cruise from New York to Quebec, Canada. So I'm very excited. I've never been to Canada. It's in September, so it's not going to be warm. But I'm excited to see like the fall foliage. I'm assuming that will probably start coming into fruition at about that time period in Canada, because, you know, it's a little bit cooler up there. So, I'm excited. I'm going on the Disney Magic, which I've never been on the Magic before.
Oh, the Magic
either.
Is a sweet
and
ship.
And I'm so excited because I get to dine in the new Tangled, or the Rapunzel's World Table, I think is what it's called. And I'm so excited to get to like dine with Rapunzel. So that's going to be awesome.
I haven't been on the Magic since her third sailing. When Disney Cruise Line first started, it was the only ship. It was a long time ago.
Like, I can't even tell you, like, literally, we've been watching videos nonstop, because it's going to be a Halloween on the High Seas cruise, too.
Oh, man, you're going to have so much fun.
I know, right? So I'm super excited about it. Like, I can't even tell you. I'm going to get to go trick-or-treating. Brian and I are already he's so all in. Like, he's like, I can't wait. Like, we gotta figure out what costume we're going to wear. I'm like, who are you and what have you done with my
husband? No, that's
awesome.
You should be like Lightning McQueen. He could be Mater. That'd be great.
I love it. So he's all in, you know, we're talking about like when we're going to go to Palo and, you know, about Palo brunch and, you know, we're just like, we're so excited about the cruise. So, I need to learn two things. One,
French,
I need to learn
maybe
what...
French because you're going to Quebec.
That was the second thing I needed to learn. Yes. I'm going to need to learn French because I know no French. I know nothing. So I'm going to have to start doing a little bit of the research there. And two, I'm going to need to learn about some of the excursion things that I can do in Canada, because obviously there's not a beach that I'm going to.
You're saying so. you probably don't want to do the banana boat excursion.
No,
that would be
probably
cold.
Not a good idea. So, yeah, we've been kind of watching the videos to see how people are dressed and stuff like that, and they've been dressed in long sleeve clothes. So, yeah. And Joanne, it is a 7-night cruise, so I'm very excited about that. So, yes, I know I'm killing you, right?
I might have to price that one for myself here.
It was really reasonable. That's why I was like.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you want to go?
Brian gave the green light, man. I'm already looking up the rates for inside.
Did. He totally, like, the only thing that has been kind of iffy on the cost is the flight back from Quebec. So that was that's been the pricey thing. Like, so that was like way more than I wanted to spend for a flight back, but. Oh. I didn't have a chance. So.
First world problems there.
I know, right? Yeah. And I'm appreciative that Rhonda says the weather in September in Canada can be quite warm because
I'm hoping
for the warmer part rather than the colder part. So this is the first cruise that Disney's actually done. This is the first time they've done this itinerary. So I don't have a lot to go off of. So, like, I have no, like, there's nothing I can research in the sense of, like, they've never been to these, you know, locations or anything like that. So, I'm really kind of, you know, nervous about what I'm going to do. So,
bring me some maple syrup.
Ooh, that would be delicious.
Awesome. Yes. All right. Okay, so, let's see. So, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about news and notes. Yes.
I forgot.
Cruising. I get fixated on the cruising thing. I love
so
cruising.
You totally were like killing me though, because I was like jonesing for being on the ship.
It was the worst though, Ricky. I'll talk about it with Pam because I got to yell at Pam for that. I love Pam, but just making us like I'm like a you know Pavlov's dog. Like I went into Palo and there was nobody in there. You know we're touring the restaurant.
Yeah.
I'm starving. Like I'm like just give me a brunch, people. Come on.
Yes.
Anyway,
let's
so
go.
You know what? I got to go in Remy. I've never been in Remy because I've never eaten there. Because I just think it's not my style, but I got to see the purse stools. I thought
yes!
those were cool. how dumb am I that that was like what I was excited about? I was taking pictures of purse stools when I was in there.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
So, okay, let me start off by just, I stayed at Coronado Springs at Walt Disney World. Just a couple of observations there. My good buddy Scott was down there about 3 weeks ago, stayed at Coronado as well, and told me that the construction had really no impact on his stay. I was kind of iffy because, you know, they're building a 14-story tower right there on the premises.
Right.
And I mean, it's not very far from the main building. It's right next to it because it's where the Cabanas 9B building, I think, used to be, which is my favorite old building because it held the business. I forgot what it was called, but it was like the business lounge. It was kind of like a concierge lounge. We'd get free breakfast there. If you stayed there, you could upgrade for like $20. It was a steal. So anyway, they're building the tower there. And I'll tell you, like when you first come into the resort off Western Way, that's what you see. You see the construction. You see the big tower, and you see, you know, they've cleared out a lot of space where the parking lot used to be in front of the main building. So you're like, a lot of construction. But the thing is, once you go into the resort, that's really all there is going on. There's a couple things happening out in the lagoon, but they're very minimal. And I got up every morning and ran around the resort. You can still run a full loop around the lake, no problem at all. You just go across those bridges. They built one extra bridge in front of the lagoon there where the Cabana 9B used to be. But I was able to do a complete circuit around. It's still as beautiful as ever. The pool area, La Siesta pool bar was still fine. The dig site's awesome. I stayed in the Ranchos in a newly renovated room. You can see the pictures on my Facebook page. I think we have some here on the Facebook page and my Instagram. Just an amazing room that was very, very functional. It felt very high class. I mean, it almost felt deluxe. Just super nice. The H2O products. Here's the thing, too. Let me just hot take. Here's another hot take.
No, stop it.
They have the shampoo, conditioner, and body soap now in the renovated rooms, you know, mounted to the walls. But you still get some products on the sink that if you're somebody that is a kleptomaniac and have to steal all the products every day. You know, or is kleptomaniac, that's power maniac, that's fire person.
Yeah, that's fire.
You're not stealing, you're paying $1 million a night, you're taking your product. That was a joke. And it was a bad joke. But they still give you stuff that you can take home as a souvenir. Now, one of the things they added was a like a little, I forget what they call it, but it's like a little vanity kit or something that's got Q-tips and stuff. Yeah, so that's kind of nice to have. Yeah, that's pretty sweet. I didn't know about that. Now, I will say, Pam was in the executive suite, which is like, it's like a whole hallway because we have meetings in it.
Right.
So she had all kinds of toiletries that I didn't even know existed. There was like feet cream and all kinds. I'm like, dude, they make that stuff? And yeah, she got all that stuff. Now, you don't get all that stuff in the normal room. You get some. One of the things they added, though, that I thought was a great, great idea that I ended up using, and you can still see if you're watching live, my nose got so sunburned the day we went to Volcano Bay because I didn't put on any sunscreen. I was just like, burn me. It's been cold for 6 months. I haven't seen the sun.
Yes.
Sun, just burn me. I don't care. I need sun. I need vitamin D. So my nose got roasted. So they had, like, not aloe, but it's like a blue gel that's solar relief or something. So that was in the room at Coronado Springs. Genius, because everybody's going to get some sun on their Walt Disney World vacation.
True.
So put
that's
it in the room. So
yes.
that was nice. But, you know, the resort is awesome. I mean, it's still great. We ate at Pepper Market a couple times. Love it. Lots of good options. The nachos are incredible. Of course, I got, you know, you got to have Mexican when you're at Coronado Springs. You know, it's a thing. So, you know, Ricky, from a distance, I mean, what have you thought of Coronado? Because it's still fully functional and just a great, great place to stay to me.
I think it still looks really fantastic. I mean, all things considered, it's one of those resorts that I haven't stayed at yet. But it's definitely on my list, partially because, you know, I lived in New Mexico, so I kind of want to see what the romanticized version of that would be. And it's probably better than living in New Mexico, to be honest. But, you know, I really have no problem with Coronado. I think that it looks like a really, really nice resort. And like you said, it's because of the fact that it's a business resort, you know, conventioners stay there a lot. I feel like it has some better amenities overall. So it's kind of like a moderate deluxe, which makes it a little bit better for me. So, I have no problems with Coronado. I think it's a great, great resort.
And again, I've said this to a lot of my guests at the Magic for Less, too, is that like I put in a room request, as we do, you know, like through my Disney experience, I even called in. And I asked for a newly renovated room. You know, I didn't ask for anything more than that because if I got that, I was going to be happy. You know, obviously I run a lot. I don't care if I'm far away. So I get there. They tell me my room's ready. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning. Got an old room. Didn't get a newly renovated room. So I spoke to the cast member. You know, I asked her when she gave me my room assignment. I said, is this one of the new renovated rooms? She goes, oh, unfortunately, sir, it's not. So I very politely asked. I said, you know, I put a room request in. I know they're not guaranteed, but if I'm willing to wait, I know this might not be ready, but if I'm willing to wait, can I get one of those rooms? I'd really like to see. I've seen the pictures. They look really neat. I'd like to experience it. She made it happen. Now, I did have to wait about 4 more hours. I got the text later, but that wasn't a problem because we were leaving to go do stuff. So it didn't really matter. I wasn't going to the room anyway. So by asking again at the desk and being very polite and sounding excited, you know, that I've seen pictures. It looks so neat. I'd like to experience that. Waiting 4 hours, I got a newly renovated room for 3 days. You know, so that's what I would suggest to everybody who's looking for, because there's so many places where you have this option now. Pop Century, Coronado Springs, apparently All Stars, French Quarter. So, you know, just be polite. You might not get it. You know, if I wouldn't have got it, you know, I still had a bed and had a place to stay, and I'm still at Coronado Springs. It's awesome. Also, a lot of people I saw, you know, say, oh, you're in the Ranchos. You were like way, way out there. I really wasn't. I was right next to the dig site pool, and there's a bridge that comes out of the dig site right into the main area. So even though on a map, see, maps are deceiving. On a map of Coronado Springs, it looks like I was halfway to the Magic Kingdom parking lot. But I wasn't. I was probably a 5-minute walk from El Centro. So, you know, nice. Those maps can be deceiving sometimes. All right, so a couple of things I want to talk about. But, Ricky, throw in some what's happening down at Walt Disney World, because we have, you know, about 30 minutes to kind of share things just to get people ready for their next vacation, fired up. So what are you going to throw in?
That's right. So, by the way, I had people asking me where I'm going. So, I just wanted to tell you guys, we are going to, Halifax, Nova Scotia, Baie-Comier, I can't pronounce it cause I don't speak French, and Saguenay and Quebec City. So that's where we're going. For those who were asking.
Wait, real quick. One last thing about the soaps, because this is where I was going with that and I totally forgot. So, my housekeeper was trying to be funny. Okay, so this, yes, and this is not cool. So be careful. This could happen to you because I think these soaps are all going to be mounted. Okay, so they're mounted. I like them actually mounted because it's just easy. You don't have to get your soaps. You know, they're all there. You just turn around, pump it out, and boom, you're good to go. Okay, so for the first 2 days, it was going left to right. My three products were body soap, conditioner. No, it was shampoo, Now I can't remember because she messed me up. But anyway, it was body soap, conditioner, shampoo. I think that was the order. Body soap, left, right, conditioner, shampoo.
Got it.
So the first 2 days, it's like that. So I'm like, it's the Disney difference. That must mean something. That must be how you are supposed to mount your product. The last day, it was shampoo, conditioner, body soap. So what did I do? I put, you know, the wrong product in my hair, put the wrong product on my body. So I realized, I'm like, because the H2O shampoo is green. I was like, wait, what? Why is it green now? So just a warning, you know, I want to take care of our listeners.
Hey, Mike.
Check, read before you put
product on. Yeah, I was going to say read. The only problem is for people who are like me and blind as a bat.
Exactly,
and can't
that's
read
how I am. I don't put in my contacts. I trust Disney. I trust that Disney will help me, you know, put body soap on my body, shampoo in my hair, and condition so that I'm, you know, under control. I don't know. So anyway, Ricky, go to the next thing. That's enough information.
All right.
Keeping everybody safe.
All right. So I promise the next thing I'm going to talk about is not my cruise that I'm very excited about. But it's actually about the fact that FastPass reservations are now open for Toy Story Land. And I know everybody's been losing their mind because FastPass reservations are now open for Toy Story Land. And this changes the landscape until Star Wars Land, and then Star Wars Land changes the landscape.
Yes.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens when we move forward with Star Wars Land and how they're going to, you know, combine that with Toy Story Land. But the hottest ticket that you're looking for has redone the tiering at Disney's Hollywood Studios, sort of. So here's how it works. It's kind of similar to what they did with Pandora, the World of Avatar, in that you can only choose one of the three attractions in Toy Story Land for your first, you know, that first three Fast Passes. So you can only choose a Fast Pass for Toy Story Mania, Slinky Dog Dash, or Alien Swirling Saucers. So just keep that in mind.
So what do you think people are going to pick? Everybody's going to pick the coaster. You know, the Slinky.
Everybody's going to pick the coaster.
Unless
it runs out.
Yeah.
That's going to be the hot ticket. Then I think it's going to be Alien Swirling Saucers because, you know, that's the second new ride. Nobody's done it hardly. So, you know, I think that's going to be the second choice that people are going to choose. Then I think that Toy Story Mania is going to be the last choice that people choose. What that I think means then is it's going to be maybe a little bit easier to ride Toy Story Mania going forward, because everybody's going to choose Alien Swirling Saucer or Slinky Dog Dash as one of their first two Fast Passes. So once you use your first three Fast Passes, I think it'll be a lot easier to get that fourth rolling Fast Pass for Toy Story Mania. Again, we'll have to see how this pans out moving forward. But I think that that's kind of how I can picture it in my head, how it's going to actually happen. So that's exciting for everybody who hasn't ridden Toy Story Mania in a while. You're probably going to get to ride it. So then moving forward, the Group 2, this makes me very happy as well, because Group 2 has been kind of shifted as well. So because Group 1 has the three Toy Story Land Fast Passes, this moves down some of the attractions that were in that tier one category before down to tier two. So things like Fantasmic and Rock and Roller Coaster Starring Aerosmith are now going to be in that that second category, which means then that now if you want, you can make your Fast Pass for Slinky Dog Dash, Rock and Roller Coaster, and the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, which, you
nice.
Know, I think
that's
is awesome.
Good,
so
yeah, that's good slate.
That's going to be awesome.
I like that.
The other tip I have for you is if for some reason you are not interested at all in riding any of the Toy Story Land attractions, you will be able to choose three attractions from that Group 2. So, you know, makes sense. If you're not going to ride one of those three attractions, you can, you know, they don't want you to be stuck without having, you know, something to ride. So you can choose from the bottom, the Group 2 tiering three attractions. So I think that that's kind of nice as well. You know, that's kind of the general strategy. If you are a group with small children, I'm going to suggest, obviously, Toy Story Mania will probably need to be your first priority. Slinky Dog Dash and Alien Swirling Saucers does have height requirements. I don't know them offhand. I'm very sorry, but I do know that both of those attractions have height requirements. So if you have little ones that don't fit those height requirements, you're going to want to do Toy Story Mania as your FastPass attraction instead. So just keep that in mind. And then, you know, probably one of the stage shows are probably going to be where your wheelhouse is for making additional FastPasses. And then obviously if you're thrill seekers, you're going to want to make your FastPasses for Slinky Dog Dash if you can get it. And then of course Rock and Roller Coaster or Star Tours or Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. So, the other thing I want to keep in mind is this really changes the dynamic too for Fantasmic. Because Fantasmic is now going to be in the tier two selection, you may have people who choose Fantasmic as an option. I still don't think it's going to be a good choice. I still think that you should probably not choose Fantasmic. If you really want to see Fantasmic, definitely book either the Fantasmic dinner package or the Fantasmic dessert package. I think that that's a better option for you. However, if you are looking to see Fantasmic and you really, really want to see it, then maybe you want to book that fast pass. But just keep in mind that if you do that, you are not going to be able to use that fourth rolling fast pass then, and you're out of luck. So if by chance you did want to ride, you did have the Slinky Dog Dash, fast pass, and then you did want to ride Toy Story, then you're either going to have to wait in line for Toy Story or, you know, I mean, that's your only option if you have that Fantasmic fast pass. So
that's why I do Fantasmic kind of dining tips. Package in that case. And that way
I think that that's the better option overall is to do the dining package, but, or the dessert party. But, you know, it just kind of depends on what you and your family want to do. So let
me ask this before we move on to the next thing. What's the capacity for these attractions? I mean, I'm hoping Slinky Dog Coaster will take up quite a few people per hour, but I'm guessing the other two attractions a lot lower. What's your best guess? We don't know for sure, but what do you think?
Ooh, yeah, we definitely don't know for sure. I'm going to assume... I don't know how many trains they're going to have for Slinky Dog Dash. That's going to make a difference. They're obviously going to have two trains. I'm not sure if they're going to have
It's pretty long.
Three.
I bet you at least three
it's
going
It's a long attraction, so it just kind of depends. I would assume that they would probably run two most of the time, even if they had three. But, you know, I guess we'll find out. I would hope that they would run three, but I guess we will definitely find out moving forward. Alien Swirling Saucer, that is more...
That's like Mater's Junkyard Jamboree, right?
It is like Mater's Junkyard Jamboree, and we don't have that here yet. So the best example I can have is it's more like the teacups. So the wait time is basically going to be cyclical because you're going to have to wait until that the ride is finished before everybody gets off, and then they load on the next people. So that wait time is probably going to be up there a little bit, especially at first. I would say probably 45 minutes just out the gate, you know, just here before, you know, while we're waiting on everybody to get to ride it the first time, you know. I guess we'll find out moving forward. Hopefully it doesn't creep up for the hour mark, because I think that would be a little too much for that ride.
It'll be there at first, though, for sure.
Yeah, it'll be there at first, but yeah. All right. And as Ashley pointed out, it is 38 inches for Slinky Dog Dash and 32 for Alien Swirling Saucer. So it's not super tall for those two attractions, but just know, like, if you've got a baby or something like that, you can't take them on those two attractions.
Take them on Haunted Mansion instead over at the Magic Kingdom. No, just kidding. You can.
Yeah,
now.
There you go.
You can.
Yes.
And they don't know. Like, I have no problem taking babies on Haunted Mansion, but some people do. All right. So the next thing I want to talk about real quick is just my thoughts on Star Wars Half Marathon this past Sunday. First of all, I have done a lot of Run Disney events, and I've never done one that started in the Magic Kingdom parking lot.
That's cool, by the way.
That is amazing. Now, I was staying the night at Wilderness Lodge, so that kind of helped because I got on the bus. Normally what I do for these events, you get on the bus about 3 or 3:30 in the morning, and it's a big motor coach with a comfy seat. So what everybody typically does is fall back asleep until you hear the psh and the doors open and you get off the bus. And usually you're freezing because it's marathon weekend or, you know, cold time of the year for me. So got on at Wilderness Lodge, closed my eyes, boom, we were there. I mean, probably a 5-minute ride if you're in that monorail. And folks that stayed, I heard, I talked to my good friend Buck and his boys. They were awesome. We shared a meal at Satuli. It was great seeing them. They were staying at the Polynesian Villas on DVC. And I mean, literally you can just walk right out.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the race starts in your backyard. So yeah. That was really cool. But the thing was, like, it was just so well put together in the Magic Kingdom parking lot. Now, the Epcot starts are fine, too, because you got that big parking lot over there. It just seemed really just, I don't know, it was new to me, so I enjoyed it. The thing was, I know Star Wars isn't as big of a race as Marathon Weekend, which is my go-to. You know, you could sign up for the race even a week in advance, and a lot of folks did. My good buddy Scott did. So
you could sign up for it the weekend of.
Yeah, I think you could. I don't even know. Maybe you could have signed up for it at the expo because it was still open.
Yeah, I think you could have.
So anyway, you know, it's not quite as big. I mean, still though, they said something around 30,000 people overall for the weekend. I think that's kind of a stretch, but it was just well put together. The weather was comfortable on the Sunday. Yeah. I only did the one race, the Sunday race. It was a little humid and a little hot, actually. It was 72 and 85% humidity at 5:30 when the race started. I looked down. Woo. So it's kind of warm to run, but the sun wasn't up yet. And I will say that we ran through three parks. So this was a really sweet course. You know, you start in the Magic Kingdom parking lot, ran down like Bear Creek or whatever that road is. That's kind of across from where the Speedway used to be that takes you to Animal Kingdom past the garbage place. We went in the back of Animal Kingdom and ran through Animal Kingdom. The cool thing about this course was that we ran through Pandora at night because it was still pre-sunrise.
Cool.
Yeah. That was awesome. That was a really cool treat. Now, you weren't in there very long. You were in there for probably about 5 minutes, but still, that is something that you know, it's a uniquely run Disney thing. I like when they give you little nuggets like that. So we ran through ran through Animal Kingdom again. It was that was the morning of the 20th anniversary of Animal Kingdom. So we all got to say we were there. On the 20th, we didn't get to do anything, you know, weren't riding rides or anything, but we ran through the park on the 20th anniversary on Earth Day. And so then we ran out of Animal Kingdom through the world's largest parking lot out to Osceola and ran to the studios, got to run through the studios, which was a lot of fun, and went through Epcot and finished in the Epcot parking lot where all the races finish. Just a really well-run race. You know, I enjoyed it, you know, just got to, I will say too, one of the things about the Star Wars races, now this is just, I think some people love it like I do. Some people probably don't love it. Is that in the Star Wars races, they bring out the Vader's 501st Legion. Now, if you don't know who that is, these are regular people, not Disney cast members. And they wear costumes. You know, they do the cosplay thing where they'll be stormtroopers or Jawas or, you know, Phasma or Vader or Luke or whatever, Rey. You know, they're all the characters from the Star Wars universe. They're not Disney employees, but they're the rules for the 501st, from what I've been told, they have to meet a very, very stringent criteria to be a part of this group. I mean, it has to be like almost movie set official to be a part. So they have lots of these folks along the race course. And the thing is, there's so many of them is that you don't have to queue up for pictures. Like I ran just right up to a Luke. I ran up to a bunch of stormtroopers, Phasma, Boba Fett, you know, and just you take a selfie and you're in, you're out. And it doesn't, you know, I took probably 30 pictures and
you
still ran
take a lot
I
of
took
pictures
a ton and I usually don't, and I got to do that and still ran a pretty decent time for me. You know, I ran a 2:10, which is really good for me, and you know, got all these memories, got a cool medal. The medals were awesome. I get the opportunity to do a challenge, which was fun. A lot of folks did that. Congratulations to Scott. I know he finished that. It was a really nice Sunday race. I enjoyed it because it wasn't overwhelming. The thing was, I wish all the races could be like this. I wish I could make a decision a month in advance, you know, if I wanted to. I wish I didn't have to. Now, of course, we're going to be making them closer to the race date this time because Run Disney has pushed back registrations for future races in 2019 to June 1st at the earliest, which I think they're just leaving active and trying to build their own registration engines, what I'm guessing. But I, you know, it was just, it didn't seem as much of like an army mission to get this race done. You know, it was like, oh, you get up, you run, you don't have to go too far. You know, you're not standing out there for, you know, 12 hours. It was like an hour and a half before the race. And it was pleasant. Lots of pictures, lots of opportunities, and just a great race. So I really enjoyed this race. So that's my thoughts on the Star Wars.
That's good, especially after, you know, because I did the inaugural one. And that one was tough.
It was
super
awful. Hot.
I mean, really, I'm not going to lie. It was awful. Like, running through, you know, it was through ESPN. Like, that was terrible. Like, it running that path with the back way, it was, and the parking lot, like, I felt like I was in the parking lot forever at Animal Kingdom. So, I'm so glad that you had a much better experience. I didn't feel like we ran through Animal Kingdom much at all when we were there. I didn't feel like we ran through the studio as much either. So, I'm glad that you got, you know, at least a good experience. It sounds like a much better course than what we had that first inaugural race.
We didn't run much through the studios. We came in that back entrance by Tower and just ran down Sunset and then turned left on Hollywood. Now the park there. I mean, you were in there literally for like a quarter of a mile, but I mean, there were cast members in there cheering.
Yeah, but then you've also got, like, I feel like when you hit that point, because then you've got the loop around to Epcot, like that's a better loop to me because mentally you know you have things to look at, whereas when we did it, that was the beginning of that race, and so like it was just, the end of it was just like, oh my gosh, there's nothing to look at, you know? So I feel like that's a much better course that they've designed for that race overall. So I'm glad to see that they've listened to the feedback and changed it. So
they need to keep that course. That was a fun course, even though it's a point to point. Some people don't like point to points because you started at the Magic Kingdom parking lot, ended at Epcot. The bus service, like I literally walked on a motor coach after the race and it only had about 12 people on it. And they said, let's go, you know, because they didn't want people to have to wait. You know, a lot of times they'll try to fill those buses, but everybody on the bus was impressed. Like, man, I'm so glad we didn't have to wait for another, you know, 30 people to get on. You know, we got to get back, get showered, and, you know, get on with your day.
That's helpful too.
So. All right. So Ricky, what else is happening in the news? We're just trying to fill up some Disney talk here on a Friday.
Yeah, so there is going to be, well, there actually is already a brand new exhibit at the Norway Pavilion. It is in the Stave Church, which for those who don't know, it's that building that sits right out front in Norway that doesn't look like that you can go inside it. I promise if you pull on that wooden door, you can go inside.
Yes.
Nobody's going to yell at you or, you know, say, you're not supposed to be here. You're fine. You can go in. It's a small little room. So, I mean, it's not like it's a very large exhibit, but it's a small little room. And it's basically, the exhibit is called The Gods of the Vikings. And it celebrates the Norse gods and goddesses that inspired the ancient Vikings of Scandinavia in their daily lives. And guests can learn about the popular Viking gods of Thor. Of course, they had to throw in Thor, right? Odin, Freya, and of course, again, Loki. Through displays of authentic Viking artifacts. And through this exhibit, guests will discover how Norse mythology has helped the Vikings live their lives and understand the world around them. So no more Frozen exhibit in the Norway Pavilion. I know that many of you are sad about this, but for those of us who are ready to let it go, we're very excited to see a brand new exhibit in the Norway Pavilion. So again, it's not a lot and it's more like edutainment. And they're doing kind of this edutainment thing in a couple exhibits are being replaced right now. You've got this Norway one that is, and then they're working on replacing also the exhibit in the American Adventure Pavilion as well with, I believe it's a Native American exhibit. So, you know, that's exciting too, to see that they're just breathing some life into these exhibits at Epcot because, you know, they start to get a little, after a couple years, they start to get a little stale. So, you know, it's exciting to see them bringing in the art and culture to World Showcase in different and unique ways.
Good stuff. All right, so I'm going to give one last thing. You can give one last thing. So here's my last hot take. We're not really doing hot takes.
No, we're not on hot takes today.
Not really. But here's the thing I noticed. Okay, so you guys all know that I tend to travel for my long vacation every summer around the 4th of July. That's just what we do. We get into these ruts. Of course, we're school. You know, I was a school teacher. My wife still is. We could only travel in the summer and also like Christmas break, stuff like that. I will say that when you go down, we were there, you know, mid-April. It is amazing in Florida in mid-April because the thing is, it's been, you know, the weather has been brutal in the Midwest, the North, you know, even in the South. Like, it's been chilly and snowy, and it's like, this is the winter that will never, ever, ever end, yes. I feel like, this year. And to get down there, and the first day I went down, it was like a high of 63 or something. I was like, oh, I always bring the cold weather. Like, you know, I came down here for hot. I didn't come down here for, like, well, you're not going to get frostbite, you know, like that was a thing because we were chilly the first day, but then it warmed up the second day. The high was 88. The next day it was 90, you know, and it stayed in like the mid 80s the rest of the week. Not a lick of rain. We didn't have one rain shower in 7 days that I was there. And I will tell you that if you can get down, you know, in April, the crowds were low. The sun was so warming and it felt so good because, again, I hadn't felt that kind of warmth outside since probably last early November here in the Midwest. And it was just like, the thing is, it put you in a mindset. Like, we shared a meal at Geyser Point. I remember this. We all went over to Geyser Point. If you don't know, it's the new restaurant at Wilderness Lodge, open air. You know, lots of like lounge places to sit around tables, you know, small tables you can sit at as well. You know, big bar in the middle with sports playing. Just the fact is, the food probably could have been garbage, and I would have still been happy just for the fact that I was outside eating, and it was a warm breeze, the sun was out, and it was just like, hallelujah. Like, it can be warm outside. The sun can shine. So if you can get down there, and of course, Flower and Garden's going on at Epcot, and Epcot looks spectacular. I mean, you're not just seeing the greens you haven't seen in 6 months. You're seeing these just popping color flowers. I mean, just the pinks and the yellows and the golds and... I'm just saying,
There's like, something about going down in the spring.
It fires you back up. Like, it totally fires you back up for life. Like, I feel like you've just been, you know, again, if you live in Florida, you probably don't understand this because you're living in paradise all the time. Or if you live somewhere that's tropical. But if you're somewhere where you go through the four seasons and they're rough and they're long, I was seriously, like, I wouldn't have to do anything. Like, I was walking around literally with a smile on my face just because it was warm. I was in shorts and a t-shirt and I was in a happy place. I mean, that's all it took. And so if you've never done that, I would just encourage people to think about it.
Oh, 100%. It rejuvenates you. That's why I've started going down in like early March for the beginning of the, you know, Flower and Garden Festival, because it's just so nice to see, because it's starting to turn, you know, spring here early March, but not quite, you know, we're getting there. But just to see the, like, the pops of color and, you know, to feel the warmth for the most part and stuff like that, like, it really does help just. It helps your soul.
I mean, it really does. I mean, like,
it's
so bizarre,
but it does so much.
Geyser Point, that, I mean, the chicken sandwich was so good. If you ever get a chance, go over to Geyser Point and get the, it's the fried chicken sandwich. Whew, it was so good. But, I mean, I could have been eating, like, the worst food. You could have been feeding me Brussels sprouts. And I was like, oh, I don't care, man. It just feels so good out here.
It feels awesome.
It's great. So I'm just saying, because I had never had that opportunity. I've been down there one other time, like, this time of year, and it was amazing then. And I'm just telling you, like, because like when we go down in June or July, the weather's the same. It's hot and sticky in St. Louis, and it's the same in Florida. So you don't have that like aha moment. But when you go, and in the wintertime, we go in January, it was cold in St. Louis. And unfortunately, it was still cold in Florida. So we didn't have that. Now, if you have a warm day in January, it's awesome too. But I'm just saying, your bets are safe in April. It's a great time to visit. So, all right, close us out, Ricky. What else can we know here to get us in the Disney mood to carry us all the way through to Monday?
I've got the last bit of news for you, and we now have the artists who are coming to the 2018 Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. Yay!
Yes.
So, for those of you who don't know, every year they have artists who have maybe seen better days. They usually have had hits in the, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
That's the best music in the world, the 70s, 80s.
Sadly enough, early 2000s at this point, because a couple artists are on this list now that I'm just like, oh man, those are people I grew up on. So, I am very excited about this year's slate of artists because it really is a different slate this year, you know. So, I'm going to go through the whole list because this literally just came out as we were recording this. So, I'm not going to read the dates though, but I'm going to read the list of who's coming.
I'm going to pick out the best artist. So go ahead. I don't even know who Blue Ocean is, but go ahead.
Okay. We've got Blue Ocean. We've got Tiffany. This year there's, because I believe, they are not doing Night of Joy. There's going to be Christian music acts who are going to be here for this. Nice. So we have Mercy Me.
Yes.
Then we have Glass Tiger. I don't know who that is.
I'll have to ask some SIRI, but I don't want to do it right now.
Don't forget me when I'm gone.
Yes. Don't forget me when I'm gone.
Got it. Well, they're new.
My heart would break. That's how it goes.
Okay. Also new is Taryn Wells, Hills and Valleys.
That's a big get there, Disney.
I have no idea who that is. Postmodern Jukebox. We have the Baja Men with Who Let the Dogs Out?
Who?
We have Living Color. Sheila E. She's new this year.
I always got Sheila E. and Sheila Easton like confused because I mean Sheila Easton really is Sheila E. I mean if you abbreviate. So.
Well, yes, that is true. All right. We have Pam's favorite. So when she listens to this, Sugar Ray is coming September 24th.
Big Brother. He was on Big Brother this year. Isn't that
Mark McGrath? Yeah, Mark McGrath.
Yeah, there you go.
We have David Cook, who was on American Idol.
From Kansas City, Missouri, by the way.
Yes. Jeffrey Osborne. Now, this next one is very interesting to me. It's Jim Belushi and the Sacred Hearts. So,
it's like the Blues Brothers, I think. I think it's like a Blues Brothers tribute.
Well,
that's awesome. Jim Belushi
is, which is pretty awesome. I got to say, I think that one's kind of cool. Everclear, Mark Wills, Air Supply.
Mark Wills has some good music. Oh, Air Supply. I love Air Supply.
I think that they come every year.
Yes, I'm all out of love.
This is all they do. They just do this and maybe the Flower Garden Festival.
There's no hope without you. Why can't it be right? Okay, they have tons of hits.
This is the one that makes me excited, and this is the one that is like, oh my gosh, they're starting to get my generation of music here, and it makes me very sad too.
Justin Timberlake.
No! I'm going to see Justin Timberlake, though. I'm so excited about that. But not until January, so I'm very bummed about that fact. But 98 Degrees is going to be there, so I'm super stoked about that. And that's from October 15th and 16th, so I'm going to have to find out when that is, and maybe I make a special trip. We also have 38 Special.
Yes.
The Devin Altman Project.
No idea.
We have Billy Ocean. So
yes,
get out of my dreams.
Get into my Jeep. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh. We have Starship featuring Mickey Thomas.
Nothing's going to stop us now, baby.
That's right. And I think they're also the, this is all they do. They do this in the Flower and Garden Festival, and that's it. So then my other favorite. So if I can't make 98 Degrees, I'm going to have to try to make Hanson.
They're always there. They're always there playing their music, selling their beer.
I love it. It's fantastic. Keep on keeping on, Hanson. I love it. Taylor Dayne is going
to
be there.
She's always there, too. Tell it to my heart, Taylor.
Again, the one that everybody loves to see is Boyz II Men.
Yes.
They are back again.
Because we've come to the end of the road for this show.
That's right, but I'm more of a Motown Philly girl.
So Motown Philly back again.
I actually saw them here in Atlanta one time. It was actually, I think that was the day that I went with Mary Jo, and she fell off her shoe and broke her pinky.
Yeah, I remember that. She hurt herself,
Yeah. And then we have the Hooters.
That's not Hootie and the Blowfish?
No, it's not Hootie and the Blowfish. It's the Hooters.
Dang, I love Darius Rucker.
They had a song of And We Danced.
Oh, yes. I think I know that song.
Okay.
Yeah,
anyway.
But I can't sing it. I can't think it.
Last but not least, rounding out the list is a Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. So that's
all we've got. Good acts.
There are quite a few TBDs listed in this list, too. So Disney doesn't have everybody picked out. So we'll see who the additional artists are going to be moving forward.
Let's do this. Okay, pick somebody that you didn't say that would fit perfectly. I got one. Richard Marx.
Oh, yeah. I think he always comes, though.
Does he? I don't think he's ever been.
Maybe he hasn't.
He's opening up that resort over at Universal called Endless Summer. He's going to sing Endless Summer Nights. That's going to be his hotel.
All right. Here's my pick. Here's my pick for who I think should go. I think they would pick Ricky Martin.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. He's kind of like a Baja man. Yeah.
I'm going back with my 2000.
That's a good pick.
Ricky Martin.
It's got southern, like Florida flair. You know his.
Yes,
music.
Yeah. You could get.
We could do this all day.
Early 2000 artist. You could get Jessica Simpson, but then again, she couldn't be there the same weekend Nick Lachey was there. So.
Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton together.
Yeah, I think they're too big for that.
I think Kenny Rogers had a health scare and he can't tour though, so I don't think that's going to work.
That might be the case. So anyway, I think Ricky Martin would be a good choice. So yeah.
All right. I think that's a good place to stop this show. Yeah. What do you think? I think it is. We've come to the end of the road like the Boyz II Men. All right, we're going to wrap up. So thank you, Ricky. That was fun.
You're welcome. Like I said, I'm breaking news as we're speaking, although granted, by the time you hear this, it's not breaking news
5 days old.
Anymore. But, yeah.
All right. Anyway, so today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Again, any discounts that get announced, they work hard for their guests to get them that discount based on availability and other factors. But trust me, we just had a great meeting down at Walt Disney World and at Universal. Those agents are passionate about helping their guests. That's the number one priority. So check them out. Drop by the Magic for Less. See all the great specials, and they can get you one of those specials out there if you need to book a new Disney adventure, whether it's Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Adventures by Disney. They do it all, even Universal. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Again, if you do some shopping this weekend, maybe you're looking for old CDs from the 80s and 90s and even the 70s. Use our link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We sure appreciate that. All right, we're going to turn you loose for the weekend. Have a great one. We'll be back again on Monday with a great trip report. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you an awesome weekend. But whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.